John chapter 10. Let's change gears a little bit. Let's all stand, please. What a great morning. Yeah. Glory to God. John chapter 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. Jesus wants to tell you something very important tonight. I hope and pray that it's an encouragement to you in a world that's so full of discouragement. You have a door. And there's great grace in that doorman. Let's pray tonight. Brother Mike Freimeyer, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. We will get back to that John chapter 10 momentarily. I'm going to have you turn. It's going to be quickly tonight. I very seldom ask to take notes, but if you're going to take notes for a message, this would be one that you would want tonight. I'm going to go very quickly, and I want you to get the verses, but I don't know that I'm going to have time to go to all of them. But understand this. In this day, in this age, I know it's a normal thing to hear it in churches about how wonderful Christ is, but you must understand something, my friend. He truly is that wonderful. He truly is that spectacular. And as I got to studying this verse that talked about him being the door, I was very interested in that. If you're a preacher or a person tonight that is interested in studies such as this, if you study the word door, it's incredible how many times Christ refers to himself as a door or as a way or as a entering in. I'm going to be honest with you. It was very fun for me to study this, and I'm excited tonight. It's not hard to be excited when you have singing like that. It's not hard to be excited when you're having people get saved in a morning service. It's not hard to get excited when you got people around you giving testimonies of free cars and things happening in their life. But let me explain something to you. It's not hard to be excited because you're in a place where God is working. It's not hard to be in a place where it's exciting when Brother Monty Watts is coming out of nowhere. It's not hard to be excited in a place where things are happening, things are moving. Glory to God, you're in the right church tonight. There's no place I'd rather be. No place. And I'm one doing the preaching, so I got very easily disappointed in myself. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm preaching out of a book that's very hard to be disappointing. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. I've got 8 different doors. I'm going to do my dead level best to be quick. But there's 8 doors, and I'm so excited about all 8 that I found in the Scriptures. I'm so excited about them because they give different places, and Jesus is the everywhere in every place here. You got to understand that each door is a place, and in this place you'll find Jesus there. Wouldn't it be great if we could go to every door? Wouldn't it be great, Christian, if you could walk no matter what door you went to, no matter what entrance you went to, no matter where you went, when you opened it, there you found Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every door that you knocked on, Christ was on the other side? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every thought that you thought, Christ was on the other side of the thought? Wouldn't it be great if we were in a place where we looked to Christ long before we looked to anything else? Wouldn't it be great to be in that place? Christian, we can be. There's no reason that we can't. The first door is found in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. I want to read it to you. Genesis 4 verse 7, the Bible says, If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The first door is a door of provision. A door of provision for the unrepentant sinner. You may know of somebody in your life that there's no way that they'll ever get saved. When Cain offered his offering, You know it was the wrong one. You know the story. You know that it was the work of his hands, and you can't get there by works. You can't bring your works to Christ. Christ could have said, Cain, away from you. I'm tired of you. I'm sick of you. I told you. I instructed you. And because I did that, I'm not giving you another chance. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, Cain is offered, because in verse 5 it says, unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Not only did Cain offer wrong, now he's mad at God. And in verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Yeah. Now listen, Cain did wrong. Right. He was wrong what he did. He was wrong what he offered. He was wrong trying to get there by works. And Christ still came back being the door, being the wonderful door of provision for a person that was not doing right. You may know somebody in your life, and it may discourage you because they've never accepted Christ. It may discourage you that, you know what, they've done wrong, and they keep doing wrong in their life. Understand this. Christ came down and told Cain, why aren't you mad? Why is your countenance fallen? If you doest well, you'll still be accepted. You should be very excited to know that there's a door in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7 that's a place of provision for the unrepentant sinner. Turn over a couple chapters to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, in verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. This place happens to be a place of prevention, a door that was closed by God himself. You ask yourself, why in the world is this a door of prevention? What in the world were they preventing? Christ was preventing two things by shutting this door. Number one, he was closing the door to stop or prevent the widespread sickness that was going on in the world called wickedness. The fallen angels had come down and gotten with the sons of man, the daughters of man, and saw that they were fine, looked at them, had their way with them, and the world was wicked. And let me explain something to you. When it gets so wicked in the world that there's only eight that are righteous, you got problems. When it gets to the point, listen, we're bad off right now. We've got a lot of wickedness in the world, but I got to believe there's more than eight here tonight that are saved. I got to believe that there's people getting saved every day. Glory to God. But understand this. When the Lord brought the flood, he could not allow Noah to be the one to shut the door because he had to prevent that what was going on. So the second thing that he prevented was Noah having to deal with the burden of the people beating on the outside of the ark. Think about that for a moment. How would you like to be the person? Because let me tell you, when the heavens opened and the rain started to come, people came to the ark. Let me explain to you. People came to the ark. They came to the ark, and the door of the ark, I'm sure, was much different than this door here. But when they got to the ark, I guarantee you, they were saying, oh, that was good. Noah! Noah! We believe you now! Let us in! That's real preaching right there when you make a hole in a door. Amen. Obviously, Noah didn't build that one. Nope. That's coming out of my pay, too. Man! I always dream of busting that pulpit up one of these days. Never a door, though. Glory to God. Don't beat on a door when you preach. He prevented Noah from having the burden. Listen, I know a lot of people that are unsaved. And if it was up to me and I was on that boat, I'd open the door. I'd open the door and let them in because I wouldn't want them to see death. I wouldn't want them to see the flood. Wouldn't want them to see the drowning. Jesus knew that Noah did not need that burden. He saved him from that burden by shutting the door. He shut the door and said, no, I've got to start all over. You don't understand. Wickedness has taken control of the world. I need to start over. And I need to start it with your family. I know you're not perfect, but at least you love me. At least you know me. Because the people of the world, you must understand, was down to eight people that knew God. Eight people loved God. Eight people were saved in the whole world. And if you think for 1 minute that they didn't beat on that door to get in the ark, you're crazy. That door was a place. That door was a place of prevention. A prevention of a heartache that he would have to live with his entire life. Turn over to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. There's been a place of provision, a place of prevention. In Exodus chapter 12, in verse 23, we'll start in 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover, knowing that that's a picture of our wonderful Savior. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of this house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. The next door, door number three, is a place of protection. You must understand, Christian, when we die, there's a place of protection. When we die, there's a place, if you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a place of prevention, because there's going to be a day when Psalm 23 comes to you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's a doorpost that you can claim. There's a door that's a place. It's a place of protection. It's a place that protected the people back then. And glory to God, that same blood is not the same blood of that lamb, but the blood of our lamb is still protecting us even to this day. It's amazing to me that people can preach and talk about not having eternal security. It's frightening to me to think that the blood would wear out. It's frightening to think that people would actually tell you that there's a way that you can lose your salvation when there really wasn't a way that you ever gained it. It's amazing to me that they would take away the deity of Christ by saying, Christ, you're strong enough to get us saved, but you're not strong enough to keep us saved. What you've got to understand is there's a door that you can go to, my friend, and that door is called eternal security and protection from having that problem. You should have great comfort and realize, hey, listen, I know this world's gone crazy. I get it. But you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little tired of hearing about it. Let me be frank with you. I'm a little tired of hearing about Obama. I'm a little tired of it. I'm a little tired about hearing how he can't do his job and all this is going to happen. Listen to me. My friend, we were quiet so many years, I don't know that we can ever take it back. I'm not telling you to be quiet. What I am telling you is to start looking up. I'm not telling you to shut your mouths. I'm telling you to open your mouths. But understand this. When you open your mouth, you've got a door that's waiting for you, that's a place of protection. We have great and wonderful protection through our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, I am the door. We don't have to worry about there being any other doors. We've got a door. His name is Jesus Christ. And he's provided a place of protection for you and for me. There could be a day when you stare down the barrel of a gun. Glory to God. Will you threaten me with heaven? High-speed lead therapy going to take me to heaven? Are you kidding me? We have nothing to fear. If you're saved today, you don't have to worry about it. If you should die, you find yourself awaking in the morning in heaven. Glory to God. There's a place we're going to go. They were just passing through this place. Why should we have so much adoration for a place that is not our stop? Yes, we have a job. Yes, we have things that we ought to do. And yes, we should care. But please understand this. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. There's a door that we can go to that's a place of protection. We care so much about the things of this world, but I really believe that Jesus wants us to look on him to be our everlasting protection. In Leviticus, all the way through Numbers, there was a door called the door of the tabernacle. At the door of the tabernacle, so many special things happened throughout those two books. It was literally amazing to see. It was amazing to know that the people of Israel, and you've got to picture this, in Leviticus it talks about the sacrifices that the people did, the animal sacrifices. And I've got to be honest with you, I've thought about this many times. Matter of fact, I've preached messages about this, what the smell must have been like there. What the smell of the burning flesh must have been like when they sacrificed the animals. Because you've got to understand, when you read through the book of Leviticus, a lot of people say, well, I labored through Leviticus because it was such boring reading. What you've got to understand is this. Leviticus should give you a window into what your soul really is. The wages of sin, my friends, is death. Did you hear me? The wages of sin is death. All throughout the door of the tabernacle, it was a beautiful place of pardon. You had a place of provision, a place of prevention, a place of protection. The door of the tabernacle throughout all the way Leviticus through Numbers was a place of pardon. It was a place where the high priest had to come and do offerings. It was a place where the sacrifices were had. It was a place where it didn't matter how bad Israel was throughout the year, as long as they brought themselves knowing that they were trusting in a Savior, future Savior. See, we get to look back. We get to look back because we've given the news that we get to look back on the cross. What they were doing is looking forward to the cross. They were looking forward by doing it. It wasn't the things that they were doing. It was the belief in the things that they were doing. It was the belief in the obedience to a Savior, realizing we're doing this because we know without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The place of the door of the tabernacle was a place of wonderful pardon. I've got to tell you, the door is still pardoning today. The door is still pardoning right now. Well, Brother Dave, you don't know what I've done. I've got news for you, my friend. You don't know what I've done. See, what's amazing to me is how people can become so pious that they don't feel that they've sinned anymore. I was in a chapel service when Jerry Falwell said, since 17 years old, I have not sinned. He wasn't talking about in God's eyes. He wasn't talking about in the eyes of man according to Scripture. He was talking about him not sinning since 17. Let me explain something to you. I've sinned since 6:17 this evening. And if you'd be honest, you have too. But isn't it wonderful to know that as Christians, as people that know Jesus as their Savior, we have wonderful liberty because the blood is still pardoning today. His sacrifice was once for all. His sacrifice is still working. His sacrifice is still perfect. And yes, you ought to desire to live holy. Don't you misread this preacher. Don't you misread this preacher thinking, well, I'm just going to go out and sin then. Brother Dave, I hope you get done soon. I got some sinning to do. That's not what I'm trying to teach you. What I'm trying to teach you is, Christian, when you mess up, and you will, there's a wonderful door, a place of pardon. And if you come and knock on that door that's a place of pardon, the grace of the doorman will embrace you. Yes, I know you messed up. I know, Brother Dave, that you messed up. I know, Brother Dave, that you messed up. I know, Brother Dave, that you messed up. I say that because that's how many times I mess up. And he says, please, come on in. I forgive you of that. He didn't just forgive me one time at salvation. You got to understand. The forgiveness that you got at salvation was forever past, forever future, and forever right then. And glory to God, there's not a sin that I can commit for the rest of my life that'll take me out of the grace of the doorman. You say, Brother Dave, I could stop going to church. And I'm going to tell you, if the preacher could tell you how many times this story has been told, I stopped going to church because I'm embarrassed. I stopped going to church because I quit doing right. I stopped going to church because something came in the way. I stopped going to church because I'm just sinned too much and people know it. Let me explain something to you. You are in a church right now. You are in a church right now that a person can sin and repent of it and expect to be cared about. I'm not telling you to just go off and make a mess of your life. I'm begging you that you never do. But let me explain something to you. You got a pastor that loves you. You've got an associate pastor that loves you. You've got deacons and youth pastor that loves you. And if you mess up, I swear to you, we know the door of pardon. We've knocked on it many times. And you can knock on it too. Jesus loves you tonight. He cares about you tonight, and you should get excited to know that he desperately desires, no matter who you are or what you are, to come on that and come and knock on that door of pardon. The next one, Matthew 7:7. Just for sake of time, you know what this is. Ask, seek, and knock. You know what this is. You've heard this verse 100 times. You know what this is. Matthew 7:7, Luke 11:9. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. There is a door. There is a place that is that door of prayer. There is a door that's waiting literally for you to knock on. Ask, seek, knock. It's a place of prayer. It's a place that is, it's wonderful that He's provided for us. It's wonderful that He's prevented so many things in our life. It's wonderful that He protects us and pardons us. But He also provides a door that we can knock on and pray. Dear Lord, can you imagine the door to the throne? Think about that for a moment. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. If the Bible says that, guess what? We must be able to do it. Can you imagine the door to the throne room of grace? Good Lord, have mercy. It must be big. You think? I mean, He's been up there preparing heaven for eternity. I think He probably got a pretty good job on it. He's God. He said, let there be earth, and there was. He probably made heaven pretty nice too, amen?
Amen.
Just a thought. And entering into the throne room of grace, I know that I can't describe to you what it would be like, but I can just imagine. I would love to tell you that there's 8 miles to walk, and you can see the king, but he's way down there. You know, the long pillars all the way down the side, perfectly transparent gold floor, the cherubims and seraphims running all around, the coals of fire and the beautiful gemstones and everything else. We try so hard to put that on our around our fingers and around our neck. Man, that's construction material in heaven, buddy.
Yeah.
And I can imagine knocking on the door. Boom. 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 And having a seraphim come to the door.
Yes.
I'd like to talk to God, please. Well, why are you standing here? Come on in. When we enter boldly in prayer, realizing what we're doing would make you desire to do it a little bit more often. Realizing that you are going to a place where things get done. You know, you go to the top dog, things get done. Amen? Wouldn't you imagine that you'd go to God a little bit? Just to say, hey, God, there's a place of prayer. You said ask. You said seek. You said it shall be opened. Here I am knocking. There's a door. It's a place of prayer. I just wonder how often. I know we talk about prayer a lot. I know we've talked about discussing prayer and how in the world it's so powerful and how in the world it's so strong. What's amazing is it keeps coming up because it really is that powerful. It really is that wonderful. It really is that great. I wonder how many times we pray. I've spoke to several people that have come and said, man, my prayers have been answered. Bob gave another answer. Oh, my prayer's been answered. Oh, he gave over here. Oh, my prayer's been answered. Guess what? If you don't pray, you're not going to get answered. There's a door. It's called the place of prayer. John chapter 10 and verse 7. I told you I'd get back there eventually. John chapter 10. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Wouldn't you like to find pasture today? The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This door is a wonderful, wonderful place. It's called the place of propitiation. That's a big word. Preachers taught it to us like 100 times. I bet you know what it means. Taking the place in the wrath of an almighty God. It's a place that Jesus stands for us. It's a place that is literally set up. So Christian, when you come to that place for the very first time, now understand, if you're a Christian, you've been to that place. If you're saved, you've been to that place. And as much as we deserve, Jesus says, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I've had a lot of teenagers tell me, I don't want to live my life right. It's too boring. I don't want to live my life right. I want to live it in the fast lane. I don't want to live my life right because you don't let us do anything. I know Brother Bob and Jamie are going through this all the time. They constantly get on the kids. And by the way, I really hope that you don't ever come to them and say, you stay away from my kid. Because I'm going to be honest with you, you don't know what that job is until you've set 1 minute in those feet. Here's the thing that you got to understand. Your youth pastor and your youth pastor's wife love your children. They are standing between, and you've got to grab a hold of this. They are standing between things going very bad and things staying halfway good for your child. They're standing there saying, glory to God, don't use your text and don't use your phones in church. Thank you, preacher. Why? Because don't you think that you might want to listen a little bit to what the pastor has to say? Don't you think you might want to listen just a little bit in what God might have to speak through your pastor? Or do you have life conquered enough where you don't need to hear from God today? It's amazing to me that we think that our children do nothing wrong. You say amen.
Amen.
You think that, well, my child's perfect. Glory to God. How dare you yell at my child? My child's great. Well, my child didn't mean that. My child didn't do this. My child didn't do that. Hey, listen, if your child wasn't sitting up straight and got yelled at by the preacher, so be it. Listen, when I was down like this in church when I was a kid, I got yelled at too. Why? Because I was a mess. I was the kid in the church that was hanging on the bell like this and going all the way up and looking in the window, waving and going back down with the bell. Do you think I got away with that? Oh, it was fun for the 10 times going up and down the bell, but eventually the pastor came out. That was at a Lutheran church, by the way. I wasn't ringing the bell at no Baptist church. I was ringing a bell at the Lutheran church, holding on, and the bell would take you all the way up, man. It was cool. It was cool. And you'd get high enough, you could look in the door or look in the window, and people were having church. You'd go back down. You go back up, people were having church. Eventually, you'd catch somebody's eye, and you'd wave on the way up. Eventually, the pastor comes walking out. Boy, you're only supposed to ring the bell 3 times. That's 30. I think that's enough. You'd go back inside. My parents were mortified, and I was in trouble. Why? Because I wasn't perfect. I'm getting old quick. But you must understand something. The job of the youth pastor is difficult, not because of the kids. Wrap your head around this, folks. You need to hear this. I don't even know why this wasn't even part of my notes, Bobby. Thanks. The job of the youth pastor is hard because of the parents. The job of the youth pastor is hard because you don't know everything that's going on in the youth. Yet you feel that you're right. I don't have a problem with you feeling that you're right, but you must be willing to listen out to your youth pastor. I did this for 10 years. 10 years. I had more problem with parents than I did with anybody else. Why? Because they didn't believe their children were capable. Let me explain something to you. Adults are capable. Why are children any different? See, what's amazing to me is we live our lives thinking that Christ lied. You need to hear this now. We think that Christ lied, saying that every man's a sinner. We believe somehow that our children are going to do right no matter what. Let me explain something to you. If we want to go around life like that, if you want a pastor that never stands up here and talks about sin, if you want an associate pastor that's willing to just go ahead and say all nice things to you all the time, glory to God, go down the road to another church. Because here, hearing about sin is what's going to save our lives. Hearing about what's going wrong in our lives is what's going to help us get closer to Christ. Quit ignoring the fact that the devil is real. Quit ignoring the fact that Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Quit ignoring that fact and realize that there's a wonderful door of prayer. There's a wonderful door of propitiation. He took the place for you because you are a sinner. And wouldn't it be great if we realized we were such? Because if we come to grips with the fact that we're not always right, and that's hard for preachers, because preachers, oh, they'll tell you, oh, I got it from God. I must be right. There's a lot of times that preachers mess this up where they're trying the wrong spirit. Hey, we'll be honest with you. But let me explain something to you. Be willing to understand that you're a sinner. Be willing to understand that there is a propitiation for your being a sinner. And it took care of the future sin too. Because we are going to have it. There's a wonderful door of provision, of prevention. There's a wonderful door of protection and pardon. There's a wonderful door of prayer and propitiation. In Acts chapter 14, I like this. Acts chapter 14. I'm trying. Good Lord, it's not going too well, but I'm trying. Acts chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Now that should make you happy. Why should that make you happy? Because you are one. And let me explain something to you. The door is still open today. Christ didn't come back and said, "Oh, that's enough." He never stopped for 1 minute and said, "Oh, man, I don't know who got saved last in here, but he's the last one. It's all over." Today, that door is still open. Today, there are still people being won to Christ. Today, there's still a reason to go out and tell people about the wonderful doors that we have, the wonderful pardon that we have, the wonderful provision that we have, the wonderful door to prayer that we have. There are still reasons to go out and tell people. Why? Because the door is still open for us Gentile folk. The door is still open for a wonderful Savior that decided, you know what, since the Jews aren't going to accept me, I'm going to graft you in. I'm so excited that that door was open. I'm so excited that Paul was willing to go and start talking to the Gentile people. I'm so excited that the Lord brought his word over here. I'm so excited that we get to read from the true word of God over here. I'm so excited I'm not reading out of a book that I've got a doubt. Grab a hold of that. I'm so excited that I don't have to read about a book that I'm not quite sure it's all right. Let me explain something to you. I'm reading out of the book that's the truth. I've got me a King James Bible. It's the word of God in our language. And let me explain something to you. I am going to have it pried out of my cold, dead hand before I'm going to give it up. I was told one time, "Well, you're just somebody in the Al Lacy camp. That's all you are in the Al Lacy camp. That's all. That's all you know about the Al Lacy camp." Let me explain something to you. If Dr. Al Lacy called me tomorrow and says, "I'm no longer an advocate of the King James Bible," I'd cry my eyes out and I would still stand on the King James Bible. If my dad came to me tomorrow and he said, "You know what, Brother Dave, I've looked it over and I don't think that that King James is all it's cracked up to be." Let me explain something to you. I'd say, "You're all it's cracked up to be. I'm out of here because I believe in the King James Bible. I believe what God said in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, that he's going to keep his word. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." It's not going to end tomorrow. It's not going to end the next day. It's forever settled in heaven. The Bible says that you cannot live by bread alone. That you've got to have every word that proceeded out of mouth. How in the world can we have that unless we have that? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that he opened the door to the Gentiles. I'm so thankful that when he opened the door, he gave us a way, even today. Do you realize how long ago this was? Do you realize how long ago that the Lord opened the door and said, "Please, come on in"? And when he said, "Come on in," he said, "Jamie Shell, come on in." When he opened the door, he said, "Jamie Shell, come on in." When he opened the door, he said, "Brother Jim, come on in." When he opened the door, he said, "Brother Dave, come on." No, wait. No, he said, "Come on in." He didn't even catch that. Let me explain something to you. He said, "Come in," and let me explain something to you. He's still, even to this day, that door is wide open at the foot of the cross telling people, "Please, come on in. It's still open." We serve a God where the door is not closed. There may be a day when it closes, but glory to God, I don't know when that day is. And so since I don't know what that day is, I think I ought to keep trying to usher people through. Can anyone say amen? Amen. It's a place of promise. And in the last place, and I love this, and I'm all done. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We went through a lot of the Bible here. There's good page turning. I don't apologize for that. Revelation chapter 3. He's a place of provision, a place of prevention, a place of protection and pardon, a place of prayer and propitiation, a place of promise. And in the last one, glory to God, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. It goes along a lot with the last one that we talked about, but this is another door. He opened the door to the Gentiles as a place of promise. He keeps knocking on the doors of Gentiles and Jews alike because that door is a place of pursuit. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Christian, there had to be a time in your life where he stood at your door. And he knocked at your door. It was a place, I got excited about this. I don't know about you, but if you don't get excited, it's okay. Take your insulin later. But let me help you. Christ knew who you were. He knew who you were. He knew who you were. Can you understand what I'm telling you? He knew who you were. Yes, he provided all those other doors, but he knew who you were. It was more, listen, you don't look down on anybody else because that's where you were too. Don't look as though somebody can't. No, you were there too. He knew who you were, and he knew you weren't worth much, but you were worth everything. And he came after you. You didn't go to him. You didn't go to him. You didn't go to him. He hunted you down. He came to you. He said, hey, listen. He brought the door to you. He said, hey, listen. I may not be able to get a hold of Marlena. And that's okay, but I'm going to try to hunt her down. And when he got there, he knocked on the door. I know that's a chair, and I'll try not to hit you. He knocked on the door for Marlena, and Marlena said, hello. He said, I'm the Lord. I would like to come in and have sup with you. She said, come on in. I just got a bunch of stuff in my shower. I'd be willing to share some. And Jesus has been supping with her ever since. He made a way for the Gentile. And then he came after me. He came after me. It wasn't enough that he died on the cross. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that he shed his blood. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that he came out of the beautiful splendor of heaven and breathed this filthy, putrid air for 33 years. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that he walked the dusty road. It wasn't enough that he was ridiculed and mocked. It wasn't enough that he was scourged. It wasn't enough that he was hung. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that he was beaten in the face. It wasn't enough. He said, I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to knock on your door. And glory to God, when he pursued me, I invited him in. Yeah. I invited him in because I couldn't believe that a Savior would care about me. Can I help you some? It gets worse every day. I can't believe the Lord cares about me. We shake our fists at God. God, you don't love me. How dare you? You don't care. How dare you? He took the time to pursue you. He took the time to bring the door to you. Knock on your heart's door. And you let him in. Do you realize if he never did a thing more for us, that was so much more than enough? I thank God of the grace of our wonderful doorman. There's so many times that I fail him. So many. And I know that if you'd be honest, you fail him too. I know that if you'd be honest, there's times when you just want to throw your hands up and say, I'm all done. Please know that there's a wonderful door. A door of prayer. A door of provision. A door of caring for you in so much that all you have to do is realize that it's there. I understand that this hour is one of the most difficult that we've ever had in this world. I know that the way we're living right now has got some frightened. Can I help you a little bit? The doorman is still in control. The doorman knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you've been. Would we be willing to submit ourselves to the doorman? Would we be willing to understand that he gave it all for you and me? Why would he keep anything else from us? Why would we think that he didn't love us? Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your long suffering. Thank you for always answering when we knock. And thank you for pursuing me. What a wonderful God we have. He pursued folks this morning. Do you know that? I love the message. It wasn't the message that got him saved, or the messenger. It was the message. It was God. Yes. He pursued those people. Yes. He said, Kativer, you know somebody. And that somebody needs to come to church. Right. He hunted them down. He used you to hunt them down. Right. And he hunted them down and brought his prey to church. The prey walks into church being hunted by God. And he brought the manslayer. And he preached what God told him to preach. And glory to God, another one opened the door. Do you see how wonderful God is? Do you see how great our doorman is? The grace, the wonderful, wonderful grace of the doorman. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this evening. Lord, it never ceases to amaze me how much you love us. It never ceases to amaze me how long-suffering you are, how merciful you are. Lord, please, these people need you. These people love you. These people care. Lord, become more real to us than you've ever been before. Lord, I'm begging you, let us seek you out and let us never keep our door closed to you. Let us be willing to go to the places that you've spelled out in our scriptures, or places that we can find you. Lord, help us to realize that you're a great and wonderful shepherd. Help us to realize that you care about our protection, you care about our safety, and you want us desperately to desire your will. Lord, help us. Help us to always seek after you. And Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you never stop seeking after us. Oh God, help us tonight. Help us tonight, Lord, to realize how truly wonderful you are. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, please come.
Let's stand. Maybe today you just like to come to the door and pray. You just come right now. You come, that's right, just come. Heavenly Father, draw us close to you. Help us to enter boldly through the throne of God. Couldn't help but think about that song when he talked about that last door you pursue. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. Thank you for coming to me. Oh God, thank you when I couldn't come to you. Thank you for coming to me. Help us. Help us to realize those doors, the blessing of each one of them doors. I pray in Christ's name, amen.